Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice. I'm Matt Boothman, and later on I'll be talking to some of the artists involved in the one-on-one festival at Battersea Arts Centre. First, though, here's the venue's Joint Artistic Director, David Jubb, to explain the origins of the event. Hello, David. Welcome to Theatre Voice.
Hi.
We're here to talk about the one-on-one festival, which is running for about the next 2 weeks at Battersea Arts Centre. Now, you've programmed, or there have been programmed, one-on-one pieces at the BAC before, kind of as part of scratch nights and things. Whose idea was a full festival of one-on-one performance?
As with most ideas at BAC, I've got absolutely no idea. I think it's certainly been an idea that we've been developing for about 2 years. We've, as you say, been working with artists to develop pieces of one-on-one work really for the last, I think, 10 years, and I think obviously there's one-on-one where they probably went back before then. The reason why we thought we would present it in a festival format is because one of the criticisms that David and I have deployed or thought about in relation to one-on-one work in the past is that it can just be very exclusive. It can be, by its very nature, it's one-on-one, and therefore potentially a small audience only gets to see it, and potentially an audience that really then has no other people to potentially talk to about their experience. So we thought it was really important to present a festival where, yeah, over 2 weeks, 2,500 people can come and see pieces of one-on-one work, which opens it up to a much larger audience and also gives audience members every night hundreds of other audience members who've had experiences that they can then share and discuss. So I think it's been as an idea knocking around for 2 years, and as with all ideas at BAC, it's developed in programming and producing meetings, but it's also crucially developed by artists at BAC.
One of those artists is Emma Benson, formerly of theatre company Patter, whose contribution to the one-on-one festival is a mysterious piece called You, Me, Now, which takes place in an out-of-the-way little room with a surreal and beautiful forest of bare tree trunks joining the floor to the ceiling. I started by asking her about her history as an official BAC-supported artist.
Well, I co-founded a company called Patter with two other artists, Melanie Wilson, who's also actually doing a piece in this festival, and Peter Arnold. And we together had a physical theatre company, and we were supported here for about 3 years, which was fantastic. And that basically meant that they commissioned stuff from us, and then they also, there were various things going on collectively that they were organising to do with touring new work, and so we were part of that, which was a national tour of a couple of our pieces, so that was great. And then they also helped us go to the British Council. We were part of the British Council showcase 1 year in Edinburgh, and that, which was also fantastic, and then as a result of that we went to all sorts of curious places. I think Macedonia was the most exciting in terms of it being the most different place to show the kind of work that we were doing, which was largely interactive, and we did everything, and I think they were quite surprised about the fact that we did all the elements of it, because I think I'm probably saying something terrible about Macedonian National Theatre, which is where we were, but I think it was more a traditional venue. And then we were sort of popped in as a non-traditional thing. So that was a really cool experience.
So how did the work that you've done before, the physical and the interactive, kind of lead into one-on-one for you? Was there a journey there? Or did you just decide one day,
there.
I feel like
I
doing
would do
some...
it. I think I've had I also work in television, so I have a number of different sort of strands that I attempt to juggle, sometimes better than other times. But I think probably if there was to be a link with Patter, it would be that interactive nature.
Okay.
But really, I think this is a sort of, in a way, a new chapter for me.
Emma Benson isn't the only artist at the One-on-One Festival with a physical theatre background. I also talked to Sheila Galani, the artist behind Nurse Knows Best, on which more later. Sheila Galani, welcome to Theatre Voice. Can I ask about your background, first of all? Because you started in dance and choreography, is that right?
I did, yeah. I trained as a contemporary dancer, and then I went on to do a master's in dance, and almost went on to do a PhD as well.
Right. So how did that lead in? Did that lead into one-on-one performance, or is that something that you've kind of developed parallel?
it's kind of a separate thing. I kind of moved away from choreography and dance and went over into working in live art and performance and experimental theatre, and I started working as a performer for other companies, and then realised I wanted to develop my own practice, and very much moved away from the dance field almost. And in terms of the one-on-one aspect, I suppose that's just one of the many types of work that I make. I make films, I make black box theatre pieces, I make installations, I write, I make objects. So one-on-one is just one of the things that I've done.
So what attracts artists from such diverse backgrounds to the one-on-one genre? Let's hear from David Jubb again.
Do you think that one-on-one theatre is kind of gaining currency now? You say you've been aware of acts that have been going for 10 years or so, but it seems to be gaining momentum. Everyone keeps talking about a participation explosion in British theatre at the moment. Do you think there's any particular reason why it's gaining currency now of all times?
I think the participation explosion, as you called it, sounds great. I think there are a set of reasons for that. I think one-on-one work, in a sense, is a particular and in a sense kind of niche form of theatre, and maybe the thing to do is to try and separate those two things out. I think in relation to one-on-one, I think one of the reasons why it's becoming increasingly important in a lot of artists' work is that it engages with what is absolutely central to the theatre experience, which is what happens when an artist looks into an audience member's eyes and the audience member looks back, and there is a live exchange in that performative moment, and anything can happen. And that, I think, gets right to the heart of the theatre experience and right to the heart of the risk, if you like, of the theatre experience, which just doesn't exist in so many other art forms, where actually what might happen in that exchange, and it's the transformational potential of that is terrific. I think the reason why artists are engaging in it as a practice is that theatre is increasingly interested in its own liveness, and I think that's a good thing, in that certainly David and I, when we go and watch shows, sometimes we feel like we just get up and leave and it really doesn't matter whether we're there or not, and actually it feels like one-on-one exchange, it does matter that you're there, you become part of the performance. And so I think for a lot of artists who are making work in this way, it's about that intimate, if you like, act. In terms of what you said about participation explosion, I think that's a wider, broader thing, which I think is happening and includes all kinds of different forms of work, including works like Punch Drunk. And I would say also companies like Knee High, where as an audience member you feel really as if your presence really matters. And I think that's a broader kind of theme in British theatre at the moment, which I think is really exciting, which is about trying to engage and involve audiences, and audiences being seen as creative participants in art as opposed to passive recipients. Something to be celebrated.
Let's see whether those theories hold true for practitioners of one-on-one as well as programmers. First, here's Emma Benson.
Now, I know you you don't want to give too much away about Me You Now. I know that the press release is left kind of deliberately vague, but what can you kind of tell us about the piece without spoiling it or without giving away the details?
That's
that
really
don't
tricky.
Want to...
Yeah, maybe it, I should it is, just spoil it.
You can spoil it if you want to, but obviously if you've decided not to in the press, then it's...
Yes, I guess now, because some reviews are starting to sort of come out and they do actually say what it's about.
But if we rephrase the question, kind of what was your intention behind the piece? What do you want the people that you interact with to get out of it?
Well, I think for me and the person to have a very immediate and affecting communication and connection, and also for them to go on a little journey, I guess, because they come into the space and they don't know what it's going to be. And for some people, it can be a little bit nerve-wracking. And then together we go on this little journey and they end up feeling surprised and really good that they've managed to do this thing.
Next, Sheila Galani. What exactly is Nurse Knows Best and what was the thinking behind it?
I know that a lot of the one-on-one practitioners at the festival are a bit cagey about revealing stuff about about their pieces, but what can you tell us about the piece to give us an idea of what it is without completely spoiling it?
You basically It's fairly tongue-in-cheek. It's very nice. It's about making you relaxed, and it's about giving you a treat. So it's a play on the word of treatment, I suppose. You come into almost like a nurse's ward. There's several beds. You get asked to lie in a bed, and then we negotiate what your treatment might be. And then following that, there is almost like a, I would say, a loose choreographed moment that sort of finishes the piece off, almost like a finale, I suppose, to get you to start to think about certain things that are in the piece.
Okay, so what's the intention behind the piece? What do you want people to get out of it?
I want them to start thinking about ideas around, well, originally it was around getting them to think about ideas around purity, cleanliness, and care, I suppose. But actually the piece is a little bit of a play on things ending as well. So we do get you to try and think about all the big things, I suppose, as well as the little things. That's why it's kind of fairly tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, taking on huge subjects like death is kind of like everybody's done it. So we try and do that in kind of a not too aggressive way.
And back to David Jubb.
I think for us it's a really important area of work because it charges debate, it engages audiences in new ways. I think also it gets audiences sometimes to be very much more creative than they sometimes are. And actually, some of the pieces of work in our festival are made by our participatory group. So we've got a beatboxing car, which is created by our Beatbox Academy, which might happen to you tonight, Matt, where you get kidnapped, basically, by one of our Beatbox Academy, who drags you out of the building, bundles you into the back of a car, and then offers you a one-on-one beatbox experience. And those experiences, in a sense, are more creatable by individuals and by small groups. And I think that's quite exciting, because, yeah, it is... In terms of that participation explosion, it's also about a kind of democratization of creativity. It's about the fact that process, that opportunity to create something, who knows, for an audience or maybe for your family, is something that we can all do.
Okay, you talked about that. The accusation has been levelled at one-on-one that it's kind of exclusionist because only very small numbers of people can see it at once. Do you think there is any way other than this festival kind of setting that the form can avoid that label? Because individual companies that are making this kind of work presumably find it more difficult to avoid that label than when they're brought together as a collective like this.
Mm. I mean, I think there may be other ways to do it other than the festival. We haven't had the bright idea of thinking what they are. But I think there's also something to unpick a bit in terms of the exclusivity argument, because yes, we see that as a relevant and fair criticism of the form. However, it's also worth bearing in mind that you can sit in very large theatres seeing very bad pieces of performance, which lots of people don't like, and the experience is deeply negative for lots of people. People just drop off, or, you know, are ignoring it, or just, you know, treating it as kind of part of an evening out, and sometimes the worst part of it. So, and actually a one-on-one exchange sometimes can be completely and utterly transformational for the audience member. So yes, that has an exclusivity to it, but I guess in terms of seeing a piece of art, and I think art is ultimately, its function is to transform us, is to get us to see the world in a different way, is to get us to learn things about ourselves that we never knew. And actually, I think one-on-one theatre, certainly even last night at BAC, lots of audience members having really profound experiences which really touched them in quite a deep place. And I could genuinely say that there's often times when I go to quite large theatres, and that doesn't seem to be happening to very many people at all. Now, it's obviously not a paradigm of either it's one-on-one or it's large-scale theatre, but I'm exaggerating to make the point, really, that I think one-on-one exchange has, yeah, some kind of important values and qualities to it as well. And actually, you know, when you stand and look at a painting, that's sometimes a one-on-one exchange.
So what about the fear argument, or the fear factor? Because some people are inevitably going to be put off just by the one-on-one label. They're going to say, this is too scary, this isn't for me, or I don't want to interact. So is there anything on the programme that you think might change people's minds about that? Or would you even want to change people's minds about that? Or do you think this kind of performance just isn't for some people?
I mean, I think that is fair. I think it will put some people off, just the very nature of it being one-on-one exchange. I mean, I suppose the thing I found interesting in terms of this festival and in terms of one-on-one work is that lots of my friends who are theatre fans are absolutely terrified about the idea of coming to this festival. They just can't bear the thought that actually there would be audience participation involved. And actually, I think they, like me, hate audience participation, terrified of it. And that's because we think of audience participation basically as being hauled up on stage in front of 999 other people and ritually humiliated in front of friends and family. And that is horrible. And that is a horrible experience to happen to anybody. Interestingly, yes, some of the friends I have who hate theatre and would never go to theatre and who I spend my life trying to persuade to come to BAC to come and see something... And actually, I can see their eyes kind of glazing over as I tell them about it. When I tell them about one-on-one, they get really excited and say, I want to come. How do I get a ticket? When's it on? Where's it on? Because they don't have a fear of that, partly probably because they haven't seen those terrible acts of emotional violence that do happen to people in some theatre audience participation. But I think there's a wider point you're making, which is about how to address that kind of fear factor in audiences, and I'm not sure we've got that right in this festival necessarily. But I think it does seem to attract audiences who aren't your traditional theatre audience, and that for me is exciting because actually that's then broadening the appeal of work. Certainly when we ran Mask of the Red Death in this building with Punch Drunk, it was really exciting because it ran for such a long time. Over 7.5 months to see the audience completely change from the beginning of the run to the end of the run. So at the beginning of the run, we had lots of National Theatre audience members because we did it in partnership with the National Theatre arriving in October with their lots of lovely long coats, and they all came in and seemed to enjoy the show and go. By the end of the run, it completely changed that audience to very diverse, different groups of people. All the homogeneity, if you like, of the audience groups. By Christmas, we had a kind of Hoxton cool audience that was seeing it. By February, March, it was completely mixed. And what's exciting about running a piece of work for a long time is that's the word of mouth effect happens, and you get people coming because they've had it recommended to them by friends, rather than by a piece of marketing literature, rather than by a review, rather than by some sort of piece of cultural criticism. And that's exciting. And my regret with this festival is, we're only running it for 2 weeks, so inevitably the audience for it is limited to those that read those newspapers or receive our marketing. And I'd love to explore things in the future where we can run things for a much longer period of time. I love Shunt's work in that way, the way they just run money for a year. And actually, again, the audience really evolves and changes during that time.
Sheila Galani knows all about the different ways a piece can play in front of different audiences. Here she is again with more about Nurse Knows Best.
If you wanted us to go really far in the treatments, then we could. We haven't, in this context, had anyone that wants to go very extreme. But the piece was originally made for Ducky, who run a club night, or they did run a club night, called Gay Shame, that happens once a year. So the piece originally happened in a club, and if you can imagine a bed in a club with six nurses and six beds, and you can have various treatments, people were quite up for exploring their boundaries, I suppose. But so in this context, it's very different. It's very much more gentle, I suppose, and playful.
So have you altered the piece itself to change from one context to another, or is it just the audience and the context that's changed?
No, I have changed the piece actually, because I do respond very much to sight. The ideas of the piece are essentially the same, but they're delivered in a very different way, I suppose. It's definitely different in this space.
Okay, it's a slightly unusual piece by one-on-one standards as well, because there is a sort of element of an audience there as well. You are having a one-on-one encounter with a nurse, but the other people can watch you as well.
Yeah.
So How do you think, how do people react to that? Does the kind of the one-on-one fear factor of not wanting to take part hold people back in?
What's really interesting about the piece is when only one person has gone in, they've actually seemed more petrified than when four people go in. The piece definitely seems to work better when there's a few people in there, because people, maybe it's perhaps people relax more, or they're more used to kind of... they feel less self-conscious, I suppose, and it's not just about them, so there's room for them to kind of disappear off and reflect. And certainly in the, when it was at Ducky, it was, I was totally playing on the idea that they were performing, I suppose. So it's slightly removed and become more isolated in this situation. But people seem to be fine, actually, and more comfortable when there's more people in there.
So is there a future life for the piece? Is it? Are you planning on taking it anywhere else? Do you think it could work in another context as well?
I think it absolutely could. I'm very up for kind of... I just sort of tend to take my work where it's invited at the moment, rather than trying to sort of push it out so that it's absolutely in the right context. So who knows? You never know where this piece might end up. I'm quite surprised that it's ended up here in this context, when before it was in kind of quite a sort of jokey, racy kind of club night context. So you just never know. And it was made a year ago, so there's been a year's gap between now and then. So who knows?
And finally, back to David Jubb. As Joint Artistic Director of BAC, he's one of a privileged few with the opportunity to experience absolutely everything on offer at the One on One Festival. So, I wondered, has he taken that opportunity?
I have, yes. There's 35, and I counted last night, and there's about 7 that I haven't. Okay. So I've experienced most of them now, and I'm looking forward to the other 7.
So, I'll ask you if there are any you'd recommend, but in fact, it's difficult to recommend, because... when you're booking, you only get to choose one maximum of the 3 that you see in the evening. But are there any that you would recommend?
There
any
are.
Any you're really excited about?
Yeah, there are. And you're right. You can only book for one. Sometimes you get lucky and get 2 of your choices. But we had to kind of make that decision as to whether we created a journey for people, or whether you could arrive on the evening and basically queue up. And because one-on-one work has a bit of notoriously bad reputation for people standing in queues for hours on end, what we try to do is set people's journeys. So it means that people have a clear journey, but it does mean, yeah, you only get to choose one.
I did notice on the Twitter feed in the bar, at least one person had said they'd booked twice just so that they could see more shows. Six out of 35 as opposed to 3.
Ah, interesting. And quite a lot of people last night who were here, obviously for the first time because it was on for the first night, actually were at the box office at the end of the evening booking to come back, which is exciting, actually. I mean, I think if that's, you know, any other show that you do at BAC where people are clamouring at the box office to come back again, that's great. That's really exciting. So it does create, I think that's evidence of creating that kind of buzz and that commitment from people, that they get really excited by the form. In terms of the work I would recommend, yeah, gosh, there's so much in the festival. I would recommend every piece. I think I'm really excited genuinely about, we've probably developed and supported the development of about half the work, and we've probably programmed about half the work into the festival that, you know, like seminal pieces like Stan's Cafe, It's Your Film, which has been around actually since about 1996 or 7, I think. I guess I am particularly interested in our Belgian friends, Onthur and Hood. That's probably pronounced incorrectly, but I've been practicing for 2 years now. And they have a trilogy of work. It starts Smile Off Your Face is on over these first 3 nights, then Internal, which was their piece that was in Edinburgh last year.
And got a lot of press.
Got a huge amount of press, huge.
Everyone was writing about it, even after the reviews had come out.
Yeah.
People were blogging about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It had a real life after the show.
Yes. And I think potentially as an even more extraordinary piece of work is Game of You, which is then the 3rd part of that trilogy. And I'm particularly interested in that trilogy because I think it's fascinating what they do through the journey of that trilogy, and that Smile Off Your Face is very much about audience subjugation, and you're literally strapped in a wheelchair and blindfolded, and it's very much about, you know, you are under the control, if you like, of the artists. in internal, it's a kind of uncomfortable middle ground of you think you're in control, and then, as has been written about a great deal, you find out that maybe you're not, and that's and there's a complicated ethical question at the heart of that about who is in control. And then Game of You, which is the piece that runs all next week, is where you are in control as an audience member, and it's very much about you, and you very much set the kind of narrative frame, if you like, of the piece. And I came out of that piece and I had to go and find myself a dark corner of the building and just sit down for about half an hour, because it genuinely taught me something about myself that I didn't know. And it's quite rare that I can say that about anything, any person or any... And it was a piece of art that really, that changed me. So I think they're a really remarkable company. I'm also really, really excited about Emma Rice's piece, which is one of the seven I have yet to see, which is called Wonder Nurse. Emma Rice, obviously director of Knee High Theatre, director of very large scale work. I think it's really great that we've persuaded her to take on a fresh challenge as a director, which is something we like to do at BAC, is offer those kinds of provocations to artists to say, well, look, you've been working in this way, why don't you try thinking about this in your practice? So I'm excited about that, which is called Wonder Nurse, which has Edith Tankus as the Wonder Nurse, who played Rapunzel with us when we worked with Knee High a couple of years ago at Christmas. So yeah, lots of them that I'm excited about, but those are a couple of highlights for me.
The BAC One-on-One Festival ends on Friday the 16th of July. Our thanks to David Jubb, Emma Benson and Sheila Galani for talking to Theatre Voice, and thanks to you for listening. Goodbye.